morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it might be that you're listening to this. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer. It's been just simply gorgeous. I didn't realize how neat it is to be able to sleep in every day and do different things and not have a lot to do. But anyway, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be, and more than glad, and honored to be able to deliver this short devotion. I'm going to read to you today from the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is really trying to get the people to understand. It's not about telling people what he's done for them. It's about telling people they should go see him. They should visit him. They should listen to him. They should hear him. And he also lets us know in this passage that he didn't come just for the Jews. Hear now the word of our blessed Savior as it came to us in the Gospel of Matthew.
Yes.
Not when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Beloved, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. In his name, Gentiles will trust." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm fighting a bit of a cold, so anyway, this retirement seems to make illnesses appear out of nowhere. Jesus has been busy. He's healing, he's preaching, he's going to the people. They're starting to follow him. We no wonder why they're following him. Is it for the healing or for the preaching? And I'm pretty sure it's for the healing. But it's also the fact that if we heal somebody, they're going to look to who we are. And Jesus is saying, he teaches them. You know, those teachings, it's like a Sunday sermon. It's like reading the scriptures every day. It's like doing our Bible studies. Sometimes the passage just hits us right between the eyes. And we start to understand a bit more about what Jesus is all about, what God's wishes are for us. And this is another one of those examples today. He's telling him that, hey, look, don't go around bragging about what I'm doing. Go around and share my love with others. Jesus doesn't want us to brag about what he's done for us, although that doesn't hurt sometimes. But we need to be open. Be open to the movement of the Spirit and to be available to help others in times of need, even if we don't particularly like them, even if we're doing it for someone we just can't understand, why am I doing this for them? They don't particularly like me. But we do it because that's our mission. Our mission isn't to exclude anyone. And that's all Jesus says. I'm not excluding anyone, including the Gentiles. And he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out. And I mean, look at our society today. Look at this world. We cry out over people that aren't like us. Well, you know, those Catholics, we can't trust those Catholics. Or look at those Pentecostals. They're over there, they're just screaming and shouting about white supremacy. Why should we listen to them? Christ is saying, quit doing that. I didn't come here to create a division. I came here to create unity. And how do we create that unity? By sitting together, by talking together, by respecting each other, even though we acknowledge that we somewhat disagree with the direction they're going. But we need to continue to pray and to lift up and to communicate. And if people at the end of the day, you and I don't get to be the judge, okay? But we think we know, and we're pretty sure we know, what Jesus would prefer. And that's our duty, to just simply pass that message along. He ends it by saying, till he sends forth justice to victory. So there is going to be justice. There is going to be justice for those who have refused to fall, who have caused pain and anguish, who have done things that were self-centered and egotistical. There is going to be justice for them. Maybe not while we're alive. Maybe when they die. I don't know. All I know is that Jesus said there will be justice. So even though I don't particularly like some people, and I get really upset with some political leaders who seem to think that they have total control over the world, I don't know. It's not my responsibility to moan and groan about them. It's my responsibility to say, let's turn it over to God. And I know what you're going to say. Well, God isn't doing anything. And I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there, and I'm sure we've all had that experience where we're in the midst of a terrible time and things are just going downhill so fast. And we say, God, why are you punishing me? And then we learn that shortly thereafter, maybe not the next day, maybe the next week, all of a sudden everything becomes clear and life is great. I can remember when I took a job in Burlington, and we arrived there and we needed a place to live, so we bought a house before we had sold our house in Kingsville. So I had two houses, and no way could I cover two mortgages. And so I was going to have to do something drastic. But so we prayed. We prayed, and we talked, and we cried, and we got excited. We got anxious. I went into work one day, and the personnel manager came to me and said, you look a little concerned. What's going on? I said, oh, I made a mistake. I bought the house before I sold my old house, and now I got two mortgages. And she looked at me and said, we'll take care of one mortgage until the house sells. End of story. Did God take care of that? Some people would say, well, you were just fortunate to have that person. Absolutely not. God had a plan. He had the plan before I had the problem. He had the plan before I moved. And the plan worked. And the plan allowed me to know that he cares and that he's there and he will take care of situations if I but trust in him. And don't we suffer with that? When things start to go bad or sour, or something gets done that shouldn't have got done, or some path got torn up or something, we just turn around and say, God, why did you do this to me? And when are you going to fix it? And we don't trust. And God fixes it. We may not always like the fix, but it gets fixed. And it's God's. God touches us in so many special ways. And yet we often have trouble recognizing it because we allow our own ego to get in the way of recognizing that God is who took away the problem. As much as we figured we did, who planted the thoughts in our brain, who planted the answers in our heart? I'd like to think it was me, but I'm pretty sure it was God. We need to trust. We need to trust that God will take care of things. We need to turn things over in prayer. We need to take time to meditate on them. And we need to not be afraid to speak out. Because God is watching over us. God has the answer. And God will give us the answer when he's ready to give it to us. And we're ready to receive it. So Jesus came in this passage. We hear he came not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles also. Let us pray. O gracious and loving Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift you gave us in Jesus. And Lord, take away our desire to define Jesus, to put boundaries around him, to say he came, but look at how messed up the world is. He came when the world was all messed up. And Lord, we need to understand that It's our responsibility, one soul at a time, to make the world a better place. Give us the strength to trust, to walk the path with Christ, to reach others, reach out to others, even those we may not agree with love and compassion, but staying clear with our message of Jesus. And all this we ask in His name, the same Jesus who, when He prayed, taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as well as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A man and a woman got up one morning, and she said, Have you made the coffee? And he said, No, I think you should make the coffee. She said, No, God said, You should make the coffee. And he said, Where in the Bible does it say that I should make the coffee? She said, Hebrews. Yeah, smart woman. Did you know Jesus drove a Honda? He didn't really talk about it, though. For I did not speak of my own accord, was written in John 12:49. There was a rich man who was distressed over the prospect of not being able to take his riches with him when he died. So before he died, he loaded his briefcase with 2 gold bars from his private vault and left instructions to have the case locked with the key handcuffed to it to his wrist and the key placed into his grave clothes. His family carried out his orders correctly to the letter. When he appeared at the pearly gates, he had the briefcase with him, key in hand. St. Peter asked, What do you have in your suitcase? Very proudly, the man unlocked the case and opened it, and displayed his 2 gold bars. St. Peter said, Isn't that special? You brought pavement. Amen and amen.